is it arrogant to say absolute truth exists? Let me pray, and then we'll look at this question. I don't know whether you'd call yourself a Christian here today, whether you've sort of thought much about praying before. I just think praying is us saying, is me saying, I need God's help, and we need God's help to understand. So let me pray. Father, pray you'd help us to know what you want us to understand today. Please help us to see what your word, the Bible, says about absolute truth, what it says about arrogance and humility. Please would we be people that are ready to be humble and listen. And we pray that for your glory. Amen. So this is the question: is it arrogant to say absolute truth exists? I'm just going to read a selection of verses from John's Gospel, John's account of Jesus' life. Let me just read these. Pilate said to Jesus, this is at Jesus' trial, "What is truth? What is truth?" The start of John's Gospel had this to say: "The Word became flesh, the truth, Jesus, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." We can know the truth about God. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, it says in chapter 3, verse 17, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the judgment, the light, which in John often has to do with truth. The light has come into the world, and yet people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. Everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. Is it arrogant to say absolute truth exists? Just to be clear, we're talking about moral and religious absolutes. We're not talking about every kind of absolute. So there was a rapper called B.O.B. back in February who caused a Twitter storm by insisting that the world was flat. And we didn't say, okay, maybe the world's flat for you, but it's round for me. We said, no, the title said, you're flat out wrong. We believe in absolute truth when it comes to the realm of geography. The question is, should we believe in absolute truth when it comes to the realm of moral and religious claims? I put the charge there on the sheets. The charge is, and I've got mates who would say this, you know, claims to absolute truth, they just breed arrogance and they breed abuse. Those that make absolute truth claims in the moral world are trying to impose themselves on others. It's a power play. Is that a fair critique when Christianity seems to make absolute truth claims? How should we respond? Well, the first thing I want to say is I'm with people that make that charge a lot when it comes to absolute truth in general. Absolute truth has been arrogant and abusive. It has been arrogant and abusive. So the Crusades is the classic example that everyone turns to. You know, they made the absolute truth claim that God wanted them to go and rape and pillage their way through the Holy Lands. Benefited them. They got the money. It abused others. It wasn't a true truth claim, but they made the claim in order to impose themselves on others. But it's not just true of religious versions of truth, it's true of irreligious versions too. Hitler, Stalin, Mao, whatever dictator you want to go to, you know, the Aryan race is the supreme race in this world. That is the absolute truth. And that means it's okay for us to impose ourselves on others and imbue lesser races. They made absolute truth claims and they used that claim to abuse others. So our society has reacted against that and thought that relativism would be the solution, where absolute truth looks arrogant and abusive. Relative truth looks humble and like a way of stopping abuse, a way of serving other people. So don't impose your views on other people. Don't claim you know the truth. Be humble. Stand back. Don't abuse others. Don't force your opinion on others. I've been doing a bit of reading around the subject, and there's a guy called Foucault writing about expressing our postmodern mindset, this relativism. It says, truth is not an absolute thing. Truth is a thing of this world. It is produced only by virtue of multiple forms of constraint, and it induces regular effects of power. Each society has its regime of truth, its general politics of truth. That is the type of discourse which it accepts and makes function as true. There's no real truth behind truth. Truth is just a power play. He's following on from Nietzsche, who talks about the hermeneutics of suspicion, which is just a really posh way of saying that moment where you just go, why did you just say what you said? What was your motive? So we watch train conductors say, we're going on strike because we really believe in passenger safety. We really want to make sure that everyone's safe and that conductors get to be in charge of when the doors shut at the stations. And we go, is that really what's going on? Or is it something else? We watch politicians sit on the floor of trains and say, the train is absolutely ram-packed, Jeremy Corbyn. And we go, is that true? Or did you walk past a whole load of empty seats, as Virgin CCTV seems to reveal, in order to make a power play? It wasn't true, it was a power play. Then you say, well, why did Virgin release the CCTV footage? Ah, it's a power play as well, isn't it? Because they don't want the railway to be privatised, to be nationalised. They want to keep it private and keep making money. We're just built to go, why did you say that? Why are you being nice to me? In the back of our minds, do you want something from me? Do you need my help with something? Do you want my body? Why did you say that? Relativism seems the solution, because it's saying there are no absolutes, or at least if there are, they're so inaccessible to us, they're of little use. It seems humble, and it seems to stop abuse. But what I want us to see is that relative truth, far from being humble and stopping abuse, is actually arrogant and abusive too, just in much more subtle ways. So stick with me on this. I want us to see this as you look at these issues. A guy called Tim Keller says this. If you say all truth claims are just power plays, then so is that statement. If you say all truth claims are just power plays, then so is that statement. Let's look at this idea of arrogance. Have you come across the story of the blind men and the elephant? It's used to justify sort of religious pluralism. There is no truth, or each religious claim is just making a little, touching on a little aspect of the full picture. So this king sitting there with his courtiers, and he's watching these blind men touching different bits of an elephant. And they're asked to describe what the elephant's like, and one of them's holding the tail, and he says, an elephant is like a rope. And the other's holding the leg, and he's like, an elephant is like a tree trunk. And one's holding the ear, an elephant is like a flatfish, or something like that, whatever it is. And the king says to the courtiers, well, that's like religious claims. They're all just grasping a little bit of the truth. They just need to be a lot more humble and understand they can't really grasp the truth. But then I was reading this the other day that says, this story is constantly told to neutralize the affirmations of the great religions, to suggest they learn more humility and recognize none of them have more than one aspect of the truth. But of course, the real point of the story is exactly the opposite. If the king were also blind, there would be no story. The story is told by the king, and it is the immensely arrogant claim of one who sees the full truth and can tell all the world religions they're only grasping a part of it. It embodies the claim to know the full reality, which relativizes all the claims of the other religions. Do you see how that works? A claim that looks so humble, you're only grasping a bit of the truth, is actually an arrogant claim. It's claiming to know the whole truth. Arrogant, and ultimately, subtly, unable to deal with abuse, and even upholding abuse. So I was reading Richard Dawkins, his book, The God Delusion. He's a moral relativist. He just says, you know, morals don't really exist. Basically, our way of ensuring our genes survive to reproduction. That's why we don't kill each other, because if we work together as a society, nothing wrong with murder in and of itself, but it allows our genes to survive to reproduction. But you read his book about, read stuff he says about morality, and especially stuff he says about slavery. Like, he's happy, gladly, that slavery has stopped in this country. But you get the real sense that if you send him back 200 years to speak into that society that all the Western Europeans believed slavery was okay, he'd actually have nothing to say. You see, relativism is great when you're trying to stop people imposing a bad thing on others. When you actually want to impose a good thing on another society, you haven't got a leg to stand on. You can't say, look, abusing other people is always and everywhere wrong. Stop enslaving them. You can't say that as a relativist. You've actually failed to stop abuse. And in a sense, you've continued to uphold abuse, because as long as the majority thinks slavery's okay, well, we'll just carry on with that, because that's that society's truth. Now, obviously, relativists are not going to say that that's what they think. They want, they, you know, the sense inside themselves, we want to stop slavery. But they've got to turn to something separate from their relativism. Relativism doesn't help them stop abuse. So do you see where we've got to so far? We've said absolute truth claims, well, they look arrogant and abusive, and they have been arrogant and abusive. But if you want a world where truth brings humility and service of others, please, please don't go to relativism. It will just abuse others and be arrogant, just in much more subtle ways. Now, unsurprisingly, as a pastor, I'm about to say what you need to do is come to the absolute truth claims of the Bible. Now, that's given what we've just said about the hermeneutics of suspicion, this is going to get slightly complicated, because you're going to be going, ah, that's just a power play. You want me to give me your money, or whatever it is. Seriously, you know, I'm a sinful person. I want you to like me. We love the ministry at the Barge to grow and for more people to become Christians. But I'm not saying this because, I hope I'm not saying this because of those things, the power play. I'm saying this because I've been persuaded this is absolute truth. That if you go away, you read the Bible, you'll find absolute truth within it. The amazing thing is, if you've seen the failure of relativism to provide you with truth that is both humble and stops abuse, well, let me show you the way that the gospel truth, will successfully bring both humility and servant-heartedness. That's what I want to show you. I want to show you gospel truth first breeds humility. Gospel truth first breeds humility. It breeds humility first because it reminds us of our finitude. So we just made all these scientific and technical advances in society. We're like, we can do anything. We're so powerful. Cancer, we're coming to get you. We can do it. Just give us long enough. But the postmodern mind has said, but where's the humility? We're not making progress. We don't know all things. We're just frail bits of dust, aren't we? And the Bible says, yes, that's right. John 1, verse 18 talks about how we could know God and ultimately know the reality, the absolute truth God reveals. And it says this, no one has ever seen God. No human ever gets the chance to know God. We can't think our way to him. Instead, to know truth, we have to have it revealed to us. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who himself is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. Bible truth doesn't look down on others. Bible truth looks up to listen to someone else tell us. It should humble arrogance. And it doesn't just humble us by talking about our finitude. It talks about our fallenness. Postmodernism, this suspicion, this deep suspicion of motive. Why are you saying what you're saying? Why are you believing what you're believing? Well, the Bible is fully on side with that as a suspicion. It doesn't think we're neutral, unbiased observers of truth. We're biased. Truth in the world is marked by power plays. Come with me and look at chapter 3, verse 19, so midway through that third paragraph. This is the judgment. The light, it's to do with truth, has come into the world, and yet people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. Everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. There's this thing you've got to get in John between light and truth. So I'll tell you a story that makes me look bad to help you remember it. Sometimes when I'm trying to escape reality, I'll be standing there, I'll be brushing my teeth at night, and the light won't be on in the bathroom. It'll just be on in the bedroom next door. And in the half light, I'll look at myself in the mirror, and I'll look up at my hairline, and I'll think, you know, I think you're not doing as bad as people say. The shadows kind of fill in the gaps. Like, if you grew it back, it'd be all right. You'd still have hair. And then my wife comes in, turns the light on, and shining back at me is the reality, is the truth. My hairline is in big trouble. Do you see how that works? I wanted to stay in the darkness because that allowed me to believe what I wanted to believe about myself. And yet, when the light comes, that reveals the truth. Now, that's what the Bible says is happening. It's not that we can't find the truth. It's that we refuse to come to the truth. We hate the truth and will not come to the truth in order that our works would not be exposed. That is a big thing. That is not a truth that I want to believe about myself. And yet the Bible is on side with postmodernism. As it says, we need to question our own motives. What's the logical extension of a suspicion of others? It's a suspicion of yourself, isn't it? If no one else in the world can be trusted, can you really trust yourself? A guy called Aldous Huxley, who wrote Brave New World, he was non-Christian, but he's really honest about this. He said this, for myself, as no doubt for most of my contemporaries, the philosophy of meaninglessness, that was relativism in the 1920s and 30s, was essentially an instrument of liberation. The liberation we desired was liberation from a certain system of morality. We objected to the morality because it interfered with our sexual freedom. See? I wanted relativism because it allowed me to do what I wanted. If we look in the mirror, what will we see? Will we see people who manipulate the truth so that it suits us? We've done that in meetings? Have we done that in our relationships with our partners? Manipulate truth so it suits us? Do we set ourselves standards and then ignore the ways that we failed to meet them? Sadly, it looks like the chief executive of Lloyds Banking Group, Mr. Horta Osorio, has been caught up in an extramarital affair. And that just seems like it's just come to light. What's also come to light is that 3 years ago he sent round a memo to all everyone at Lloyd's about a new code of conduct, and it said this. The code tells staff to ask, would I be happy to tell my colleagues, family and friends about my actions? And would Lloyd's Banking Group be comfortable if my actions were reported externally? Now, we could... you could look down on people, or you could look in the mirror at yourself and say, well, is that something that I do? Am I someone that fails to live up to my own standards, let alone God's? Gospel truth breeds humility, and yet gospel truth also, it stops abuse because it breeds servant-heartedness, because ultimately... we meet one who has served and who inspires our service. What is the truth about God that we meet in the Bible? The truth about God that we meet in Jesus is John 1 verse 14. We've seen his glory, it's glory that brings grace as well as truth. God, chapter 3:17, hasn't sent his son into the world to condemn the world. The truth is, God has come with grace in the person of his son. He's come to save the world. He's come to serve, and Jesus comes to serve as he allows himself to be abused. As he dies on the cross, he hangs there, and he is abused to save us. To serve us. We deserve in eternity to receive what we have given out. We have given out abuse in our lives to others, if we're honest. And we deserve to receive that back to us. God is a just judge. And yet at the cross, Jesus is willing to be abused instead of us, to take what we deserve, to earn us free forgiveness, to bring us truth about God, grace that allows us to accept truth about ourselves, that we're bad, that we need forgiveness. And that is a truth that frees us, and it inspires us to serve. It doesn't inspire, a real Christian is not inspired to look down on others and be like, ha ha ha, I've worked it out, aren't I so morally superior to you? It's a truth that inspires Christians to serve. So, what was it that allowed William Wilberforce to fight slavery 200 years ago? It was a belief in absolute truth. It is always and everywhere wrong to abuse others and to enslave them. And he was willing to be abused by all the special interest groups that wanted to keep slavery going in order to fight tooth and nail to serve other people. Why? Because he knew himself to be a sinner, he knew Jesus to be a saviour, and he saw the way Jesus had served at great cost and wanted to be like that. And he served. Do you see that relative truth? It's just a subtle way of abusing others and being arrogant. Gospel truth is the only way to a world marked with humility and servant-heartedness. I'm not trying to say every Christian you meet, or especially every person that professes Christianity, is going to be a perfect model of this. A lot of stuff has been done in the name of Christianity that doesn't measure up at all. But the truth at the heart of the universe, the Christian claim is a truth that inspires humility and service. It's the only place to go if you want to live in a world like that, and if you want to be able to accept the truth about yourself. Let me pray as we close, and there'll be a chance to ask any questions you might have. Father, we just praise you as broken people who can't even begin to grasp the depth of our fallenness and our finitude and the heights of our pride and arrogance. Just praise you that your son served and was ready to be abused to serve others. Please would that inspire us and free us. We pray that for your glory. Amen.